Maybe we'd all be safer if we took more time to practice flying slowly. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. I'm Paul Plack. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot, which you can read online. Bob also has a flight school in the Buffalo, New York area. We talk about safety issues on Monday. And Bob, you were telling me that one of your experiences at Lakeland this year was the chance to have a very interesting discussion with Dick Van Grunsven of Vans Aircraft.
Well, I had been a great fan of Dick's airplanes, of course, like many hundreds, if not actually thousands of pilots. And I wanted to pick his brain a little bit, if I could, about what he thought the status or the quality or the proficiency of the average GA pilot that was that were not only flying his airplanes but general aviation airplanes in general. And when I introduced myself and asked him if I could talk with him about this, he was ready and willing, because it seemed to be a favorite part, a favorite spot in his heart that thought the word should get out a little bit more. So I said, Dick, I said, what do you see as the status of the GA pilot and today? And he says, well, he says, in his experience with Vans Aircraft and many years of flying experience, he related some numbers that the AOPA Air Safety Foundation would certainly concur with, and that is most accidents are a result of maneuvering flight.
Mm-hmm.
The pilot loses control of the airplane down low near the ground, usually at the slow end of the operating envelope, and a mishap occurs. And he said that is the greatest weakness he felt in the GA population, the proficiency weakness, and that is most of us, the pilots, you know, we get in our airplane, he says, we taxi to the active runway, we drive the airplane into the sky, we drive it in cruise, and we drive it in descent, and we drive it to the runway. And fairly soon, we lose any proficiency in flying our airplanes at the very slow end of the operating envelope. We may have learned to do that in our private pilot training, but once beyond that, it's never covered again.
Mm-hmm.
Consequently, when we do find ourselves in a low and slow flight attitude, for whatever reason, sometimes we just simply lose control of the airplane. And I said, well, Dick, that clearly is a recognized problem. In your opinion, what would be the solution? And without hesitation, he said, if we flight instructors in flight schools spent just twice the amount of our training time with our pilots, with our students, flying at the very low end of the airspeed envelope of our airplane and develop some proficiency among our students at that level, we could reduce our fatal accident rate in half. And with that bold statement, I pushed him a little bit, and I says, well, what do we do about the existing crop of us GA pilots? And he says, well, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go out, get yourself a flight instructor if necessary, climb up to a safe altitude, and spend hours, literally hours, flying your airplane as slow as it possibly can go. Do your turns, do your stall series, just become comfortable flying the airplane very slow. He went on to add that as far as flight instruction, there's a great deficiency, he thought, in his opinion, in the way we teach stalls. We teach stalls by simply pitching the airplane up, waiting for the buffet, we pull the power, or we recover. He said where we get into problems is when that stall is also associated with a yawed condition. So
right.
We all know that a yawed stall typically will result in a spin. So he said we should be teaching cross-control stalls. We should be teaching accelerated stalls. If we pilots could master those stall recoveries, again, we could reduce our maneuvering accidents in half.
Well, Bob, I know that Dick has been a proponent of flying the airplane at lower speeds during approach to land. How do we reconcile this goal with making sure that we don't get so slow that when we make the turn, either from downwind to base or base to final, we don't, initiate a spin?
Well, your concern, the way you phrase that question, is that all of us are naturally afraid of a possible spin scenario. So what we do in response is to fly the airplane faster and faster during our turns to keep us well away from the that stall spin configuration. The only way to overcome that is, again, to take our airplanes up to a safe altitude and fly them at the slowest possible speed and see just how slow they can safely fly. And then watch what happens in that very slow condition when we yaw the airplane. An exercise, a good friend and my personal mentor, Louis Nelbone, who runs Dunkirk Aviation down in Dunkirk, New York, he has a great exercise. He's also a designated pilot examiner. He said, have your students put the airplane into a power-on stall. Just full power, climb steeply, but have their feet planted firmly on the floor. And then see what happens. Well, of course, as the airplane climbs steeper and steeper, it's demanding, it's screaming for more right rudder. The ball is slung all the way to the right side of the inclinometer. Mm-hmm. But with the feet on the floor, of course, that's not happening. And what we wind up with is a classic cross-control stall. The airplane stalls and then rolls, snaps quickly to the left, and if not recovered soon enough, it'll go right into either a spiral or a spin.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of exercises that if we pilots did this regularly, we can see that it's safe to fly very slow only as long as the airplane is in a coordinated, that is, the ball is centered, condition. If we have any kind of a yaw in that, then we're extremely vulnerable to a stall spin. And this is the classic scenario. And again, according to the data, we're seeing an average of one fatal stall spin accident every single week in mm-hmm. the United States. So therein lies the problem. The problem, again, as defined by Dick, is that flight schools and we flight instructors ourselves are not very comfortable. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of attention on the part of a flight instructor to keep control of the airplane when his student or her student is maneuvering at a very, very slow speed. One last tip, Paul, he gave, and I think this is profound, and I'm glad to say that we've been using it over in our flight school for some time. Before even attempting to take a primary student to the point of learning how to land, he advocates bringing the student to a long runway and have the student hover taxi the airplane
mm-hmm.
down the entire length of the runway, just several inches off of the runway with the stall horn beeping, and let them understand and develop a pitch power coordination skill so that they can keep the airplane in flight at the slowest possible airspeed. And once they master that, then they can handle landings easily.
Bob, we're up on our break, but I want to talk about this more when we come back. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News. We'll be right back.
This is a story of two pilots. Our first guy, the one with Garmin Waas GPS, he just arrived home from a trip, ready to enjoy a nice home-cooked meal with his supermodel girlfriend.
Chérie, viens près moi.
But our other guy, the pilot without Waas, well, he couldn't quite make it home. Had to divert to an airport with an ILS approach. So now it's dinner from a vending machine in some crummy pilot's lounge. You know which pilot you want to be. Garmin Waas GPS. Follow the leader.
Chérie.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, and my guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves. Bob, when you talk about teaching students to master slow flight a few inches over the runway as a prelude to learning how to land an airplane, it sounds intuitive. Why don't most flight schools do it that way?
Well, part of the problem, and I'm becoming more and more of a disbeliever in the traditional pilot training syllabus. The pilot training syllabus at the primary level was developed, as far as I can determine, about 65 years ago, right around World War II, when we were flying basically fabric-covered airplanes in an entirely different world. If we could change the syllabus, if we can make a dramatic change in the syllabus, and this includes the way we publish our syllabuses from everybody from GLIME to Jeppesen, we could do a lot of good for general aviation. Number one, I think we can get a better level of proficiency. And when I say change the syllabus, consider combining the private pilot and the instrument syllabus all in the same training syllabus.
Yeah, Cirrus has done that now. Cirrus has a new course that does teach them simultaneously.
Yes, they do. And Mid-Tennessee College, they were one of the pioneers. The FAA is behind it, recognizing that it's beneficial to do this. And the other big problem, I think the number one, honestly, and this is not an overstatement, the number one problem facing general aviation today is the rapidly declining numbers of pilots.
Mm-hmm.
We're aging out faster than we're bringing new people in. When you combine that with one other known fact, that fact is less than 50% of every new pilot start ever reaches check ride. The dropout rate among new pilots, those receiving a medical versus those receiving a certificate, the dropout rate is greater than 50%. Now, the reason for that, in my opinion, is we instructors have attempted to use a 65-year-old curriculum or syllabus on a student who's not interested in creating more stress and strain in his life.
Mm-hmm.
If we can make that flying fun, if we can make cross-country flying the first part of the syllabus rather than the last part of the syllabus. Right now, just for example, Paul, I'm in Morristown, New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
with a student who, she and I departed Buffalo this morning at 8 o'clock. We took a little over two-hour flight to Morristown, New Jersey, in a Cessna 172, and she was under the hood, and she has less than 10 hours total time. And during that two-hour exercise under the hood, she managed to develop the skill of trimming the airplane, keeping the airplane on heading and on altitude and on speed without the distractions of having to look out the window. Now, that is nowhere in the private pilot curriculum to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And she enjoyed the flight. She said, I finally got to understand what you mean about flying a trimmed airplane on heading, on altitude, and on airspeed. And when I told her the private pilot practical test standards limits, I said, you know, according to the PTS, you have to be able to do this plus or minus 200 feet of your assigned altitude. Well, heck, by the time we got down here, she was plus or minus 50 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because of taking a primary student, putting them in an instrument condition where they can focus on the gauges and develop those skills without the distractions of looking out the window. It works. So there's lots of things we can do to improve safety, lots of things that we can do by changing the curriculum. And I think time is now that we begin looking at that seriously.
Bob, I know what we've talked about today may be somewhat controversial for some of our listeners. We'd invite anyone who wishes to send me an email on this topic at paulp, that's P-A-U-L-P, at aero, that's aero-news.net. Over the Airwaves comes out monthly. You can find more of Bob Miller's writings at overtheairwaves.com. And Bob, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thanks, Paul. See you soon.
You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.